Lane. Thank you for that choir and church for that singing. What a lovely name. And it is well with my soul. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. John chapter 15, we're going to read verses 13 through 17. I ask you, if you will, to stand in honor of reading God's word this morning. The scripture reads like this. No one has greater love than this, that someone would lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I have commanded you. I do not call you slaves anymore because a slave doesn't know what his master is doing. I have called you friends because I have made known to you everything I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you. I appointed you that you should go out and produce fruit and that your fruit should remain, so that whatever you ask in the name of the Father, to the Father in my name, he will give you. This is what I command you. Love one another. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your many blessings. I pray, Father, you'd be with us this morning as we continue to worship you, as we look at your word. Father, hide me behind the cross. Father, may it be you and you alone, the one that's seen and heard. Father, if there's one here under the sound of my voice that does not know your Son, Jesus, Lord and Savior, Father, we pray, Lord, that today would be the day of salvation. Father, if there's one here who maybe long ago put their faith and their trust in you, and their friendship with you, their relationship with you has had these obstacles, Father, may those obstacles be torn down, and may our fellowship and our friendship with you be restored. May they make that decision today. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, today we're going to be talking about friendship. Friendship with God. We're going to discover, and we're going to ask the question this morning to ourselves is, how can I be God's friend? How can I be God's friend? We all have many different friendships and relationships, and too often we may feel that we've been taken for granted, or we may feel that maybe I've let someone down, or you've let someone down, and you've been let down. So we're going to talk about friendship. So I want you to listen to this little story about friendship. Randy and Wade are very good friends. Well, that's just some kind of topic comes out. It's hard not to mention it. You see, they've known each other for quite some time. And in fact, when Wade resigned as our minister of music, he highly recommended Brother Randy. Thought it would be a very, very beneficial for the church, and praise the Lord, I agree. But like all friendships, they've had a few just words where they just didn't get along together completely. One time they went camping. And Randy, being the good friend that he was, got up early, put his boots on, making breakfast, and getting ready, and Wade's sleeping in. Randy grabs his attention and says, Wade, you better get up. I hear some rustling in the bushes. And they looked out, and there was a bear just coming right towards them. And Wade quickly, he sits down. He's putting his tennis shoes on and getting ready. And Randy says, what are you doing putting tennis shoes on? You think you're going to outrun it? Wade says, no. All I have to do is outrun you. Believe it or not, Randy's pretty quick, too, because he's still here with us this morning. This is how so-called friends are. Now, Wade's just an example. A great friend. I've known and loved him for years. But too often, friends run away when the first sign of difficulty comes across their path. Friends, they bail on those, even those who have invested in them, even those who have entrusted them, even those who have made life around them, friendships, close friendships. You know, we say when the going gets tough, the tough gets going. We just don't explain which direction we go in. Too often, we run away. You see, this morning, as we answer the question, what is a friend? A friend is someone who walks in when others walk out. A friend is someone who walks in when others walk out. And we all can have those moments in our lives. We remember that we had so-called friends and times got tough and they walked out on us. And I don't know, but I know if we evaluate our own lives, maybe we have been that friend that's walked out when times got tough. But this morning, as we evaluate the friendship with God, we need to closely remember Proverbs 17:17, which states, a friend loves at all times. Irregardless of what the person, the friendship may be going through, this is the way we can tell how many friends we have, by those who are present. Another thing we should wonder about is what kind of friend are we? Did you know that in order to have a friend, you must first be a friend? In order to have a friend, you must first be a friend. And as we go through this morning's message, it's important for us to recognize and to understand the type of friendship God offers to us. So this brings us to the focus of the message this morning, being God's friend. He desires to be your friend. We call him Father, we call him Creator, we call him Provider, we call him Sustainer. We call on him when we get into trouble. He's always there. But throw in the word friend when we talk about God, this should bring some excitement to us. It should bring a new perspective. It should bring a spring to our step when we recognize the friendship that God desires to have with you and to have with each and every one of us. So the question we often ask is, does he really want to be my friend? Well, the answer is yes. And that's what we want to be discussing and talking about this morning is that friendship. You see, the Bible is very, very plain about the friendship relationship. You look in Genesis, the first two chapters, you see God dwelling among his people. You see God spending time in the cool evening breeze with his people, with his creation. And we see this very close fellowship and relationship and friendship between God and man. Then sin happened. From that point on, friendship was broken. My two favorite words in the Bible, but God. But God. He had a plan. And he sought to restore that friendship and that fellowship. It didn't all happen immediately. God had a plan. It started happening immediately, but his fulfillment through Jesus Christ took place some years later. You see, he initiated giving the law and he gave instructions and how they should worship. We looked at last week and the fellowship and the friendship that we're called to have. And we saw, you probably saw recently in your Sunday school classes, how there was one man called a priest who one day a year, the Day of Atonement, was called to go before God. The only one could enter into this Holy of Holies because there's a veil there. And he had to, for the people, represent them to go before God to have forgiveness of sin. But the story doesn't end there, two favorite words, but God sent and gave himself, sent his son Jesus to die upon the cross, live a life without sin. He paid the price for you and for me, and he gave his life upon the cross. He was buried, but 3 days later he arose. But the important detail is that veil that separated him from God was ripped in half. And we have the ability to come before a loving Father with boldness and grace, not because of what we've done, but because of what Jesus Christ accomplished on the cross for you. Now, if that's not friendship, I don't know what else might possibly be friendship. He laid down his life for his friends, just like it speaks of in our text. And now we can, now anybody can come before him at any time with anything. So the question remains the same. We all need to be asking, how can I be God's friend? If you're filling the blank within a bulletin, number one, how can I be God's friend? Give him your priority. Give him your priority. In other words, you cannot buy or bargain with God for friendship. We must take, or we must make God a priority in our life. Too often we're guilty of all types of different things, and we neglect to make God a priority in our life. If you're not seeing or feeling God's presence in your life, we need to ask a question. When was the last time I made God a priority in my life? When was the last time I made Him so much a priority that I prayed, that I read the Bible, that I spent time together with fellow believers in worship of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? When was the last time I made Him a priority? James chapter 4 verse 8 says this, "Draw near to God and He will draw near to you." So let me tell you a truth. In fact, I want you to write this down. Are you ready? You are as close to God as you choose to be. There's no other way about it. According to God's Word, according to life, according to examples that we can receive through God's Word, you are as close to God as you choose to be. If you're not close in fellowship and friendship with Him, it's not because He has left you or abandoned you. It's because you have not made Him a priority in your life. We are as close to God as we choose to be. If your priority is something else other than God, your friendship with God is struggling. Your relationship with God is struggling. If, in fact, the Scripture is very plain, if we have something else as a priority in our life other than God, the relationship may not even be there. That's not Greg's word, that's God's word. It's important for us to understand that. I know what you're saying. I've tried to have fellowship, friendship, relationship with God multiple times, but there's always something that gets us in the way. Guess what? Satan does his job and does it well. He wants to separate you from the love of God, from the friendship of God. He'll cause you to be so busy that you neglect fellowship with the Lord. And we place our priorities on all types of things, good things in life, even family, children, grandchildren, all types of things. We place this priority on them, and we're trying to put them somewhere they should not be. If God is not first in our life, we're missing the mark. God alone is the one that should be priority in our lives. At the same time God's trying to build this friendship and relationship, Satan's trying to disrupt us, to frustrate us, to tear us down, to cause us to look at other places. New Testament, we'll think, wow, that's pretty true, but God's changed since the Old Testament. Let me tell you something, that's a Greek word for that, baloney. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 13, listen to what it says. "You will seek and find me when you search for me with all your heart." That's Old Testament and New Testament agree with one another. When you make God a priority, you will find Him. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Make something else your priority. It's not that He does not want the fellowship and friendship with you. It's because you have chosen something other than Him. And you've walked in your own path in your own way. If it doesn't seem like He is there, it's not Him. It's you. It's me. And we've placed something else at a higher priority than God. Back to our text we see in the Scriptures, how we make Him a priority. John chapter 15, verse 14 says, "You are my friends if you do what I command you." In other words, the Christian life is not a hit or miss proposition. To have fellowship with the Lord, to have friendship with the Lord, we need to make Him a priority, period. We need to make Him first in our life. The Christian life is following His instructions every day, not once a year or once a month or every occasionally. We're to make Him a priority every step of the way. We've been given the instructions through His Word, and they're clear. Make Him a priority. Number two, and you fill in the blank. How can I be God's friend? Give Him your conversation. Give Him your conversation. In other words, we all need to ask ourselves the question, the key question, am I communicating with the Lord? Now, I don't know about you, but I know with my own wife, if I'm communicating with her, it means I'm speaking, yes, but it also means I'm listening. We're very guilty of speaking too much and not listening enough. And God gave us two ears to hear and two ears to hear and one set of eyes to see, and we often do a lot more, one mouth to talk, and we often do a lot more talking instead of listening. In fact, what we're often guilty of is this. In our communication with our spouse, we get there, we got our glass, we're drinking our iced tea, it runs out, what do? We shake our glass. Mine's empty. We're trying to teleport that message. I need some more tea. Let me tell you something. We treat our spouse that way and the marriage won't last long. We treat our wife that way and the marriage won't last long. But why don't we treat our God that way? With disrespect and without reverence. God, I'm calling you because I need you. He says, my child, you need me every day. Jesus said, John 15:5, look back a little bit closer, further, without me, you can do nothing. Conversation, speaking to our God, trusting in Him. Let me ask you a question. I want you to answer it to yourself. If you prayed as much as you hunted, how much conversation would you be having with God? Would it increase? What about if you prayed as much as you fished? Or if you prayed as much as you watched television? Or if you prayed as much as you were on social media? How much would your fellowship, your friendship with God grow? If you prayed as much as you spent time on the lake? And you see a difference there. How often do we neglect to communicate with God when God says, 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Pray constantly. If you prayed as much as you text, we're guilty of, boy, I'm guilty. Maybe you're not. Of texting. But we have conversation all day long, every day. Boy, it doesn't bother us a bit. We get a text, boom, right back. Or we have a question, boom, we ask it. And we wonder, why are the world not responding? If we prayed as much as we text, we had that priority in our life of conversation with God, how much would we be changed and be different? Let me ask you one more question in that same. What if we prayed as much as we grumbled? How many of us are guilty of grumbling and griping? Things didn't go my way. I didn't get my will. It's not going the way I want it. You see, before we can have friendship with God, we got to get me, myself, and I out of the way. To have fellowship with the Lord has got to be I removed from the subject, and He has to take the forefront. Priority, making Him the priority, having conversation with Him, not with me, myself, and I, and other friends who want to gripe and grumble with me. Too often, this is exactly what we're guilty of. Let me just be honest with you. If I prayed as much as I grumbled, my spiritual life would be in much better shape. Because I'm guilty. I'm guilty of grumbling. That needs change. Church, that's how we have closer friendship with God. Not the grumbling, the praying. Seeking His will. Searching out what He's trying to teach me in my life's circumstances and situation. What He's trying to cause me to listen. Let me be your friend, Greg. Let me be your friend and call you by name. When was the last time we had that conversation with God and we truly sought out to have that same fellowship with Him? Back to our text, John 15:16b, we'll say, the end portion says, so whatever you ask the Father in my name, He will give you. In this verse of Scripture, we're seeing an image of God opening Himself up for us. We see Jesus saying, call upon me. Try me. I won't respond. You see, what Jesus is doing, he's preparing for the coming of the Holy Spirit. You read a little bit further in chapter 16, you'll see the Holy Spirit's coming. Here's what's happening. The life of the disciples is about to completely change. Jesus in the flesh is ascending to the Father. He's sending the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the one to teach, the one to instruct, the one to point in the right direction, the one to comfort. He's sending the Holy Spirit there, but he says, pray. Because your life is going to be tough from this day forward. And praise be to God, they prayed, because here we are 2,000 plus years later, and the message got to you. And the message got to me. I'm thankful for the conversation that we get to have before the Father. We can come before His throne of grace with boldness. We can make Him a priority. Why do we need to have this conversation? Because there may be someone in this room that needs to be encouraged. And the people around us are not being the friends that they call to be, but God always will be. And He will encourage you. He will lift you up. He will carry those burdens for you if you'll let Him. So we see in the text that God's saying, speak to me. But when you get through speaking to me, listen. Let me be your friend. You see, God doesn't set us up for failure. He sets us up for success. And too often we're guilty of looking at success like the world, the bigger and better and the more. When God says, no, friend, success is this, obedience to me. Obedience to what God says. That's what success is. Making Him a priority. Having conversation with Him. Relying upon Him. Listening as He speaks to us. Number three in your fill in the blank. How could I be God's friend? Give Him your trust. Give Him your trust. In order to have a friend, trust is the greatest factor. In other words, you talk with acquaintances, but you trust friends. Big picture, if you do not trust them, they're not your friend. Every Monday morning we have a men's Bible study at Jack's at 7 o'clock. By the way, we'd love to have you all welcome. But over the last three or so years, we've been having these Bible studies. And now let's be honest with you, there's different age groups involved in that Bible study. But I have developed some strong friendships with some men that I love and hold so near and dear to me. You see, we're there with and for. We study God's Word every Monday morning, but we're also there. We're praying for one another. What's going on in the week, whether we have a doctor's appointment or we have some struggle we're facing in life or if we have the pastor just needs someone to be a friend because he's got something coming up that's going to be difficult, we can be there and trust one another. In fact, some of those friends are so trustworthy, they all are, they show up at a funeral if they don't know the person and they say, you know what, I'm going to love you, Pastor. Because I know you need some help during this time. I'll tell you something, that's friendship. But no matter how strong man's friendships are, on occasion, I'm sure we let one another down. In fact, I know we do. But God says, put your friendship in me, and I will never let you down. It may not be according to your plan. You may ask and question why. But God knows what's best in your life. He knows what steps to take. And He wants for you just to trust Him. Just to trust Him. God wants for you to cast all your burdens upon Him. Psalm 55, verse 22, cast your burden on the Lord, and He will sustain you. He will never allow the righteous to be shaken. He didn't say life wouldn't be difficult. He just said, trust Him. Trust Him. To have this type of friendship reveals that God cares for us. And all He wants for you to do is trust Him. Tell Him your fears. Tell Him your failures. Tell Him your faults. He knows them already. But He wants to have that fellowship with you. He wants to have that friendship with you. Trust Him. Trust Him. In fact, it's His desire to bear all that pain for you. Matthew 11:28-30 says this, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. All of you, take up my yoke and learn from me, because I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for yourselves. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Instead of developing friendships with God, do you know what many people try to do? They try to carry it themselves. They think they can be good enough. Do some good things, and maybe the Lord will judge me fairly and I'll be able to get into heaven. That's not what friendship with God's all about. Because there's nothing good, no matter how good you may think or anyone else may think that it is, there's nothing that gets us into heaven other than Jesus Christ. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father." Satan didn't like it, but we're going to say it again. No one comes to the Father but through me. You put your faith, your priority in something or someone else other than Jesus Christ, you have missed the mark, and your eternity is in a place called hell. Satan didn't want you to hear that, so he crackled the speakers. But I want to tell you, I ain't going to stop sharing it until you hear it. There's no other way into getting to heaven other than Jesus Christ. And we need to be trusting Him, relying upon Him, putting our faith in Him. Let me ask you another question. How many of us have, we're good at, we all have gifts. We're good at this one thing, something, whatever it may be. And we think, well, I can do this and do it well. And surely I'll have success with doing this. Let me share with you some text about some men who thought they could fish well. And they go out and they fish and they don't catch a thing. But then Jesus comes. John 21:3-6. "I'm going fishing," Simon Peter said. "We're coming with you," they told him. They went out and got in the boat, but that night they caught nothing. When daybreak came, Jesus stood on the shore. However, the disciples did not know it was Jesus. Men, Jesus called out to them, "You don't have any fish, do you?" And there's only one response. "No," they answered. "Cast the net on the right side of the boat," Jesus said, "and you'll find some fish." You know what comes to my mind? "But Lord, I've been fishing all night long. I've not caught a thing. Why do you want me to trust you?" And they didn't say that. You see, that's what comes across Craig's mind. They did question, "Lord, we've been fishing all night." You know what they did? "But I'll trust you." And they cast out the nets. It says they had such a big catch that they were barely able to. In fact, they had to call another boat to get them in. 153 fish, if I'm not mistaken, or how many fish they were able to bring in. A lot of fish. They've been fishing all night long. How many of us have been down a road and we thought we could do something well and we were not successful? In fact, we had no luck at all. And we just give up. Like they did. It says they were mending their nets. They had given up. "We're not catching a thing tonight." But Jesus said, "Keep fishing." You know, that's similar to our life today. There's so many people in this world that are lost and headed for a place called hell. And it's very quick and easy for us to say, "You know what? I'm giving up. I can't trust you in that, Lord. Those people are not listening." But then one is saved. And the Bible says that the angels rejoice because of one person coming to know Christ as Savior. Success is not, yes, we'd love to grow God's kingdom. Yes, we'd love to have baptismal water stirred. We'd love for people to come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. But your success is not dependent upon someone else's decision. Your success is dependent on you trusting God and doing what He says. That's it. You see, we can't save anyone. We may plant, we may water, but God alone gives the increase. And I don't know why he might be moving this somebody's heart here this morning, saying, you've denied me, you've pushed me away time and time again. We don't know if we're going to make tomorrow. We pray not, but someone might have an accident on the way home and your life gone like that. And you failed, if you failed to trust him, your eternity is not with him. Our choice today determines where our eternity tomorrow will be. We need to be making him a priority. We need to have conversation with him. Not just call on him when times get tough, but listen when the crazy preacher's preaching and he's saying Jesus loves you, and just give your heart and your life to him. Trust and rely upon him. We must trust him. We cannot continue down the same path, doing our own thing, expect to get different results. We need to trust God. Back to our text. In our text, Jesus does not say, trust me. But he is referring them to this trust in his statement. John 15:16. You did not choose me, but I chose you. I appointed you that you should go out and produce fruit. You see there, there's some instructions. Go out, produce fruit, and that your fruit should remain, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. As I stated earlier, life was about to change. Life was going to be different. They needed to trust the Lord because he was sending them out into a world that needed to know Jesus. I shared with you a moment ago, here we are 2,000 plus years later. So the question comes to my mind. Why would they risk everything and trust Jesus with the good news if it was not true? They wouldn't. Why would I be standing here this morning sharing with you the good news about Jesus if he had not made a difference and impact in my life? It changed my life. I'm a sinner saved by grace, but I wouldn't be standing here telling you about it if it were not so. We have reason to celebrate. If you don't have reason to celebrate, you need Jesus. That's the end of the story answer. And at the end of the day, you're going to be asked, who do you say I am? By Jesus. The Bible says in Matthew 7:21, not everyone who says to be Lord, Lord will enter the kingdom of heaven. Because getting into heaven is not an automatic thing. It's available. It's not automatic. We have to surrender to Jesus. We have to trust in him and what he's done. A story that's lasted 2,000 years is not by happenstance. It's by men and women whose lives have been changed, and they were not willing to let the story die down because of the difference that Jesus made in their life. Why? Because they trusted him. Because they trusted him. So don't forget James 4:8. Draw near to God. He will draw near to you. Because if you don't draw near to God, he's not drawing near to you. He gives you the choice to choose. Do you want to be a friend of God? Make him a priority. You want to be a friend of God? Have conversation with him. Tell him what's going on in your life. You want to be a friend of God's? Trust him. Your everything. He will not let you down. It may not go according to your plan, but you see, he knows best. He calls for you just to trust him. So we get ready for a song of invitation. I feel like there's somebody here this morning that's not trusted God. Now maybe you surrender to Christ, to save you a long time ago, and you said, you know, I trust you, and then you throw out everything, but you hold those keys back, and you say, I'm going to hold on to this right here, Lord. I think I can handle it. And he wants you to know you can't. I'll tell you something, Greg's tried. Every time I attempt to do things on my own, I fall flat on my face. So we have to trust Him with everything, surrender our everything to rely upon Him, because we cannot get into heaven without Him. You may be here this morning and you've not surrendered to Christ as Savior, but He's saying to your heart right now, trust me, trust me, trust me, trust me, make me a priority in your life. I want to have close friendship. I want to communicate with you. How does God speak to us? Through His Word, through other believers, yes, through circumstances in the right context, all because, and all the reason being, because we trust Him. You say, well, how can I have this friendship? I'd like to have it. The Bible says that if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that God has raised Him from the dead, we shall be saved. With the heart, man believes in the righteousness. With the mouth, confession is made in salvation. It's a gift there for the taking, but you've got to take it. I know without a shadow of doubt, and I'm one of them. There are a lot of Christian hypocrites. I don't set out to be one, but I've done a lot of things that I shouldn't have done. But praise God for His grace. And His mercies are new every morning, and great is His faithfulness. Therefore, the Lord is my portion, and I will put my hope in Him. Lamentations chapter 3. Trust Him. Trust Him. Won't you come? As we stand, as we sing, hymn number
182.
Won't you come?
182.